All right, here we go.
A weekly look inside the Jacksonville Jaguars organization. Jaguars.com Live starts right now.
Welcome in. Jaguars.com Live presented by Everbank. J.P. Shadrick with you from the HannityAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. We'll go in a moment to Phoenix, Arizona. The Arizona Biltmore Hotel is the site of the NFL annual meeting. Plenty to get to today. You can get in on the show at Jaguars, at J.P. Shadrick, at John Osier. And speaking of John Osier, he is live at the Arizona Biltmore Hotel. John, what's going on at the owners' meetings this week?
Well, we are live at the luxurious, sunny Biltmore, and the first wave of meetings just let out, which means I think every dark blue suit jacket that's been purchased in the last 3 weeks has just walked by us. It's sort of the same look, as you know, JP. But I'm here with Dan Pompey of Bleacher Report, and I guess just about every publication in Chicago is in your past. So, longtime Chicago guy and one of the better NFL guys in the business. And I'm curious, as you start this meeting, Dan, some of the storylines you're looking for. And one of them, obviously, is the rules changes. There's a lot on the table, but not a lot has been proposed officially from the competition committee. What do you see that playing out?
Well, Jan, I really think the most interesting thing that probably will emerge from this meeting has to do with the discussions about Los Angeles and what might happen with the Rams and Chargers and Raiders. But I think in terms of the rule changes, my suspicion is that it's going to be much ado about nothing, especially with the replay deals. There's so much on the table. I was talking a little bit yesterday with Chuck Pagano about this, and he was saying, there's a lot there, but the important thing is we're discussing it. You know, it's out there. It's potential evolvement of how the rule originally was intended to be. And I think maybe it's something that over time, if you keep talking about it, you find a better way to do it. I think that's the hope of the NFL. Some of the suggestions and proposals are pretty drastic and radical. And, the league is usually pretty slow to accept things that are radical and drastic.
When they first put that in, it was, let's get it right and let's make sure we don't have any errors. And it almost feels like they're wanting to go away from their original plan, which was not to officiate in the booth necessarily. And now they're looking maybe for more interpretation from the booth, which is sort of a slippery slope for people who have followed this for a long time.
It is. Well, you can understand, you watch the games and you see the replays and you say, well, they didn't get it right, or if you would have looked at it from this angle, or if you could have seen it another time on this play that it wasn't allowed, you could have had a better call. Right. So you understand the frustration with it and the wanting to make it a better device. But as you say, it's a slippery slope because the more you put under the replay umbrella, the more problems you create, and also the longer a game you create, which is another big issue that the league is very adamant that they do not want a longer game.
And you also mentioned, of course, the Los Angeles. And there's been so much for years in Jacksonville, the Jaguars were the team mentioned with Los Angeles. That's gone away a lot. But talk about that issue and how you see that playing out. It sounds like it's coming a lot faster than maybe people thought it was even 6 to 12 months ago.
Obviously, Stan Kroenke is moving ahead with his plans for a stadium in L.A., and he says it can house two teams, which is really kind of a game changer. If you've got two teams in play in L.A., or even if you had one team move out there and then the threat of another team moving there, you would still have that carrot kind of hanging over the heads of teams that can't get stadiums built in their own city. So I think that, it's probably going to be difficult to stop the Rams from moving to L.A., if that's what Kroenke truly wants, and it appears that is what he wants. This is something that the league might kind of throw their hands up in the air and say, we can't stop him. If we stop him, it's going to end up in court. He's going to win. So then what should we do? I think there's a good chance the Rams might be in L.A. soon.
It's always interesting if you read, Dan, which a lot of you have, one of the more insightful, thoughtful writers, and often his topics cover an angle that you wouldn't normally have thought of. In light of that, I'm curious your thoughts on the player retirements this offseason and how that fits into the big picture concussions. And from your talk to people around the league, is there a concern that this is a trend?
Well, I think there is a little bit of a concern because times have changed. Actually, I wrote a big story for Bleacher Report that's coming out Tuesday about this subject, talking with former players who played a long time in the league. about their experiences with kind of NFL mortality and their thoughts on Borland and early retirement. And what I got from a lot of these guys, I've talked to guys like Warren Moon and Dave Robinson and Derek Brooks, who are in the Hall of, all of them in the Hall of Fame. And they said things like, you know, in our era, we never thought about quitting early. I mean, Warren Moon played until he was 44 years old.
Absolutely, never entered the mind.
Never entered his mind. Dave Robinson said, well, hey, after my first year, I made $15,000 in Green Bay. I needed this. This was my livelihood. And he still worked a off-season job as well at Campbell Soup. So, you know, things have changed in terms of what an athlete has to do in terms of setting himself up for the rest of his life. Now, Borland's not set up for the rest of his life, but certainly he's in a good situation, I think, and he's a smart guy, and he can do a lot of things, and he understands that. So it is changing, without a doubt.
We'll jump to the Jaguars. You're a national writer who has spent some time talking to Gus Bradley and Dave Caldwell over the years, so you know what's going on with this team. How much did you watch them in free agency? And in terms of their plan and their approach, what did you think of it?
Yeah, I thought it was very interesting. You know, they obviously had the ability to be a big player this year and could have made a move on a major star like Ndamukong Suh. They elected not to. They kind of had a plan. Dave Caldwell's had a plan all along, and he stuck with the plan, which you really have to admire. And one of the things that was interesting to me, the kind of trend that I saw with the Jaguars in free agency, is they kind of took guys who weren't necessarily established stars already, but guys like House and guys like Parnell and guys like Scuda, and they took these guys and they said, look, even Julius Thomas to a degree, we think you can be better than you've been up to this point in your career. And so these are guys on the come. So
almost scouting it.
Almost like a draft type process. Right. Like, you're not complete yet, but we could make you complete and we hope you become complete with us. And that's how they chose to invest their money, which I thought was interesting, as opposed to going for the guy who you knew was a sure thing, but a guy who maybe would be overpaid.
Final question. As you see them build, 7 wins in 2 seasons, understandably fans want more than that. But it was a long process that they started with. In terms of the big picture, as you see Jacksonville building, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's been a process. I think it's been a really good reflection of Shad Khan's ownership, that he's been patient and he's understood that this is a process that wasn't going to happen overnight. He has enabled Gus Bradley and the coaching staff to develop players at a reasonable pace, and he's showed Dave Caldwell the patience and given him the resources it takes to build something over time. And you know, a lot of owners don't have that type of commitment, that type of patience and long-range thinking. So I think you know, it's been smart, but it's got to start to pay dividends, obviously, pretty soon too.
Absolutely.
And you know, the time is coming pretty quickly for the Jaguars to be competitive.
Dan, as always, fantastic stuff.
Okay, thanks, Dan.
We appreciate you, bud.
All right.
Thank you. JP, I guess back to you.
Okay, John, we'll get back with you in just a moment at the Arizona Biltmore, apparently at the Aviary at the Arizona Biltmore Hotel in Phoenix. We'll get back to John with another special guest coming up. Some other Jaguars news the past week or so. The Jags claimed running back Bernard Pierce off waivers from the Ravens, and of course, he was in the national news after an arrest on DUI charges. That's when the Ravens cut him. The Jaguars have claimed him. They got to add to this running back group. Remember, Denard Robinson last year had 526 yards. He had a 3 or 4 game span where he really had a bulk of those yards last year, and he's still developing as a running back. Toby Gerhart banged up early last season, but then fought his way through that leg injury, and the last couple of weeks of the season played better, but still trying to find something positive at the running back position and maybe long term. This is a guy, Bernard Pierce, is going to come in and compete for that job and have a chance in camp to really prove himself, and that's what's going to happen. Don't be shocked if the Jags go that way in the draft at some point too. So that was the biggest news for the Jags. Some big topics you heard from Dan Pompeo. We appreciate his time today. After one of the big meetings let out, we'll get back to John Osier in just a moment. But a lot of the story about the L.A. move possibilities in the National Football League, that'll be the biggest storyline, I believe, this week coming out. As you heard Dan talk about, there's plenty of options here and plenty of ways this could go. This is still very early in the process, but it could happen as early as a couple of seasons from now. there are possibilities of the Rams moving, the Chargers, the Raiders, any kind of combination of those three, certainly. We'll get back to the talk of the annual meeting in just a moment. Let's go back to Phoenix, Arizona now. At the Arizona Biltmore, John Osier has another special guest. Who you got, John?
Well, we're back, and I'm sure a lot of our viewers recognize Michael Silver. And I'm sure knowing Jaguars Twitter, a lot of our viewers have been blocked by Michael Silver. So it's safe to say. And Michael Silver of NFL Media, NFL.com now, longtime Sports Illustrated, longtime Yahoo. First of all, as you...
Hold on, I got to block a couple of Jags.
Okay. As you start this owners' meeting, what are you looking for, and what are some of the topics that are most interesting to you?
Well, John, I'm fascinated by L.A. I grew up there, and I go down there a lot for work. And for 20 years, I've been wondering how that's going to shake out. I don't think we're going to get resolution in these meetings, but with the Chargers, Raiders, and Rams all in play and room enough only for two at most, it's really interesting to me. And then you start to look at the macro, and there's always talk about the Jags and all the London games, so I wonder how that factors in. I do think that what the Cons are doing in Jacksonville has been really cool. I think in our world, Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley are almost universally acclaimed, and everybody's excited about what's going on. Unfortunately for Jags fans, they haven't seen the victories yet. So this would be the year that ideally that happens.
And you spent some time with Shad over the years, I know. Just your impressions of him as an owner in terms of, I guess, sort of a new element and a new approach that he brings to the table, maybe a breath of fresh air that the league needs.
Well, you know, look, there are owners who just like to own an NFL team, and they're getting guaranteed revenue from the TV deal, and they're going to make a profit, and they like coming out here to the meetings, and it's all good. And then there are owners who want to steal your lunch money and win, and I think Shad falls in the latter group, and I tend to gravitate toward liking those owners. So that, first of all, every owner says it. We want to win, but a lot of them don't want it quite as much as the ones who are maniacal about it. I spent some time with Jerry Jones late last night, and was reminded of just how desperately he wants that. His methods might not be to everyone's liking. He might make mistakes, but he's all in. And so I think Shad falls into that category. He's obviously, he's new. He's finding his way in this world, but I'm convinced that he's hell-bent on winning.
And you're a guy who's covered this league 20 years. We first met in Stevens Point, first Jaguars camp, I remember. Now,
they didn't want me to wear these, if I recall. Tom,
no, you couldn't wear them. No, I would not have been permitted to do Jaguars.com with the Aviators.
It would have been an interesting gray area, as I did not work for the Jaguars. And Tom would have
that never mattered to Tom that much, though, did it?
I think he had rescinded the policy by the time I showed up. I was definitely not taking off my shades.
No, not with the media.
Medical necessity. After all, I'm from California. It's very bright.
So. That's right. Now, as somebody who has written about a lot of off-field topics as well, I was wondering your thoughts on the early retirements and sort of where that's headed, if you think this is sort of a blip or if this is something you're going to see and it's going to be more of a long-term issue for the league.
Well, it's a great question. Willis, I think, though he's young by NFL standards, has given a lot of his body and wasn't a shocker. But Chris Borland certainly, after a very promising rookie year, had not been paid the way a lot of NFL players have, and in fact is now reportedly giving back $463,000. So you wonder, is there a sea change here? I don't know. All I can do is evaluate it in the specific case of Chris Borland, and people who call him a quitter or somehow say that he's done something that's worthy of their reproach, it just drives me insane. I mean, this is a young man at 24 who has educated himself about various things. We don't know what he's experienced. We don't know what he does experience. And, it's not quitting at 24. He's in a very noble way giving back money, walking away from a potentially lucrative career, but he's making a career change. And, a lot of us in our early 20s entertain such notions. Some of us entertain them, deep into our middle age, and to actually do it and go through with it, you got to respect the man. If you're a 49er fan, you can be disappointed because he was a great player, but I hate the judgment.
Right. Well, you're getting bumped, but you're getting bumped for a guy that I think you're all right with getting bumped for, and that's Steve Wyche.
Oh, well, if you're between Steve Wyche and Mike Silver, go Wyche. 24/7.
All the time. Mike, as always, we appreciate you, bud.
All right, John.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
JP, we'll back to you, and we'll have Steve Weiss momentarily.
Okay, sounds good, John. Thanks a lot. Season tickets, get more in 2015. Become a Jag season ticket member and get access to amazing benefits 365 days a year. Stadium experience at EverBank, recently voted number one by the fans in the National Football League. Great seating options available for any budget. Visit jaguars.com/tickets or call and speak to an account manager today at 633-2000. Interesting comments from Mike Silver from Yahoo. Let's go back to Phoenix now. John Osher has Steve Weiss.
Actually, Michael Silver now with NFL.com.
Oh.
And Steve Weiss with NFL Network.
Yeah, I'm dressed a little differently than Silver, right?
Well, that goes back a long way, though, doesn't it? I'm not sure I've ever seen Silver not in that getup. Have you?
That's him. That's Michael Silver.
I got you.
If it wasn't him, it wouldn't be Silver.
I got you. Now, you've talked to Dave Caldwell mm-hmm. and Gus Bradley a lot in your job with NFL. Talk about them a little bit and just where you see the Jaguars headed right now.
Well, I remember David actually when he was with the Falcons, and that was my first introduction to him. Very sound personnel man. As we're seeing, you know, the blueprint, they had to do a teardown mm-hmm. and they had to be a buildup. So I think the personnel, and you look at some of the offseason moves, which I really like, been under the radar, but getting a guy like Jared Odrick, I like some of the moves they've made. So now it's up to Gus Bradley and the players to start winning ball games. Okay, they've had 2 years to really build a platform. Bortles now is going into his second year. So I think that's the move now for Gus Bradley. Okay, we've seen the motivational speech. We know the players really like Gus Bradley. We in the media love Gus Bradley. But now it's got to execute. Get the players to execute. Mm-hmm. Translate it into wins. I'm not saying they have to make the playoffs. But I think they've got the personnel. And I think they've got the coaching staff now as to where all this potential starts to turn into production.
Fans and observers always want success quickly, mm-hmm. but you've covered the league on a national scale, so you follow all 32. In terms of the timetable for this build and going into the third year, when you look at where they started, it's not that unusual for them to be at the spot they are now, correct?
It's not that unusual. I mean, first off, I think this preaches to the patience and the game plan that Shad Khan, the owner, gave them, because most owners are not going to say, okay, you can have back-to-back seasons like you had and us not really see the progress. But, you know, there's progress behind the scenes being made. Again, they had to do a teardown of personnel and then start laying the foundation of personnel. And Shad Khan's been patient enough to see that happen. Now is where they have to – the plan all of a sudden has to start showing results. Mm-hmm. It is that third year. And like I said, it's not necessarily a playoff that they have to get to, but you've got to see hope. You've got to see development in your quarterback. That's going to be huge. And the younger players that you've drafted – also have to start looking better. They've got to start playing like grown-ups. That rookie stuff is over. So I think those are the keys right now for this season. Everybody has to graduate to the next level.
We'll finish up on a final Jaguars topic in a minute, but I'm curious your thoughts. As somebody who speaks to people around the league every day, as you come into these league meetings, what's the top storyline that you're looking at? What do you want to learn after these meetings are over with?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of key, you know, national storylines, such as, you know, in any type of these replay rule changes. I'm one of these guys who's more like a football ops guy. Like, how much are we going to keep tinkering with the game? And I just want to see if the owners and the competition committee are going to make any changes, because there's just so many annual tweaks. Some of the stuff, you know, it has to happen, you know, clearing up some language and things like that. That's one of the L.A. relocation story clearly is what has legs.
You might have a home team, right?
Might have a home team right there, and it will not be the Jags. I'm sure the folks in Jacksonville are happy about that. But, you know, who's coming in if so? Because it's not just about L.A. getting a home team. It's about some current market losing a team. And, you know, that's a painful blow. You know, you'd hate to see the Chargers leave San Diego, the Oakland Raiders leave Oakland, or the Rams leave St. Louis. So somebody's lost somebody's name. So I think that's part of it. But, you know, the one thing I just don't want to see is some radical changes that alter the game for TV's sake or for ratings' sake. Let's keep football the way it is. It's a good thing.
Now, we knew each other when you were in Miami. You've been in Atlanta. But you've been in L.A. for...
Now I'm going to my fourth.
Okay. So you have a feel. This is as close as it's felt out there, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, and just everything you hear from the league. There'll be a team out there sooner rather than later, if not two teams. But, I mean, you know, I live near the Inglewood Project. You see construction going on right there, at least for the business parks and things like that. The stadium, of course, is what they're anticipating. But it looks like the Chargers and Raiders have a strong plan for that Carson thing. But absolutely, I think everyone believes, not just in Los Angeles, but those of us in the NFL, there's going to be a team there in 2016 or 2017.
What's your job every day to have a pulse on the league and talk to people? Tell me what's going on the first two picks of the draft. And who do the Jaguars going to have an opportunity to get at number three? That's what our fans want to know.
I mean, Jameis Winston, I think, is the logical choice going to Tampa Bay. Tennessee's the wild card.
Right.
I really don't know how they could pass up on Marcus Mariota, seeing the quarterback options that they have and what happened last year, unless I think Mettenberger can go there. But I think the defensive lineman from SC is who everyone thinks they're picking. Remember, Dick LeBeau is now overseeing that defense, so he needs that type of player. So if he's available for the Jags at three, that's, you know, you have to take him. But Jags probably going to go pass rusher. I think they're fairly safe, you know, at most of the other positions, knowing how Gus Bradley, you know, likes to operate with that defense. That's where they have to go. Andrew Luck has got some more weapons. You got to get more stout up front on that defensive front. So I think that's where the Jags go.
So Steve Wyche not breaking trend and going pass rushers, just like everybody's been doing all offseason. Steve, thank you. JP, back to you.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Our thanks to Dan Pompey, Mike Silver, Steve Wyche, John Osier. We'll get back to John here in a moment out in Phoenix at the Arizona Biltmore Hotel. Glad you're with us today on Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank. A jam-packed show today. We'll get back with John in just a moment and go back and forth on some of these topics that were brought up today. John, if of course, The comments from Dan Pompey are interesting. It's something we don't hear a lot from. A longtime Chicago writer, Mike Silver, has been in the Bay Area for a long, long time. Steve Wyche has some interesting draft thoughts at the end there. He covers the draft a little bit more than the previous two guys, so covered the whole thing today.
Sure.
John, if you can hear me, let's talk about some of these ideas that were brought up today. L.A. is a big deal, and it still is, and it's going to be a big topic all week.
Well, it's a big deal, and I think what's nice for the fans watching us, you know, I assume mostly Jaguars fans. We're on Jaguars.com, as you know, JP.
I know.
But it's so notable that nobody's talking about the Jaguars in this. It's not surprising, because anybody who's been in town since Shad Khan bought the team knows that L.A. and the Jaguars is not a thing. But it took a while for the nation to realize that, and I think it took a while for the fans of this team to realize that. That, okay, when Shad Khan says actions speak louder than words, all these things that he's been doing, slowly he has made it very known, and I guess the ripple effect, if you will, has gone out among the league that they're no longer talked about in that. And that's something that, for whatever else has happened, that has happened in Shad Khan's 3 years, a remarkable turnaround considering you weren't here yet, but 2011, 2012, that's what you heard.
John, what's the rest of the day look like, the rest of the week? I know there's always time with Dave Caldwell, Gus Bradley, and Shad Khan. What's the schedule the rest of the day today?
Well, the plan, and again, believe it or not, they're not walking around here saying, when can I get with John Osier? I'm a little surprised at that, but they're not. So it's sort of built around their schedule. The tentative plan is to get with Dave around noon today, which is 3 p.m. Eastern, so I'll be writing off of that for Jaguars.com later. And my understanding is we'll definitely get Gus for the coach's breakfast. And then tomorrow at some point, the media that are out here will have a chance to talk to Shad Khan. And, again, it's just such a good opportunity to get with these guys and figure out sort of the state of the team. And it's a good reset point for people following the team to figure out where these guys stand on some of the issues. Dave Caldwell will talk about the draft, of course, some of the on-field issues. And then Shad, I'm sure, will talk about the shipyards and some of those things that sort of go away between the time that he's talking about them publicly. I mean, they go away in terms of news hits. But it'll be interesting to see if that story moves forward tomorrow.
I don't know, we'll have live coverage again tomorrow. Jaguars.com live again right here. We'll have you live from Phoenix again. Well done, John. Great job. And tell Dan, Mike, and Steve thanks again for their efforts today. We appreciate you.
I will. Very nice of those guys to join us. It's appreciated.
And we'll talk to you a little bit later. John Osier, live from Phoenix at the Arizona Biltmore Hotel. Also, some news that has kind of come out in the last few minutes. Vic Carucci of the Buffalo News reporting that the London game, the Jaguars-Bills game that is at Wembley Stadium this coming season, it's a 9:30 a.m. Eastern time start, 1:30 in London, Well, it will air on local TV in Western New York and in Jacksonville, those markets only. But nowhere else in the country will be available on TV, only on digital platforms everywhere else for the first time ever. So some news coming out of the owners' meetings in Arizona. Our live coverage continues tomorrow. We'll have Jaguars.com Live presented by Everbank. We'll have live hits from the Arizona Biltmore Hotel with John Osier again and some special guests. So stay tuned to Jaguars.com all week. Our thanks to Dan Pompey, Mike Silver, Steve Weiss, and for John Osier and everyone involved, this is J.P. Shadrick. Thank you for watching. We'll see you tomorrow on Jaguars.com Live presented by Everbank.